Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Let's hear this word, John chapter 18, verse 33 through 37. It's the familiar story of Jesus before the Roman governor. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me? I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Today I offer a sermon in three parts. Actually, in many parts, not just three, many parts. Blessings upon you. Many parts. Part number one, where were you 4 years ago today? I was here 4 years ago in this sanctuary at this pulpit. Your pastor nominating committee had put my name in nomination to become your next senior minister, and it was my candidating sermon. The sanctuary was fuller then than I've ever seen it since. My wife and boys were here. There was applause. Somebody called me out during the sermon, which I thought, well, that's interesting, and I liked it very much. We had a cake. It was a big day. There was celebration. Do you remember that day? Do you remember the sermon? I remember both. In that sermon, I remember telling you, it was Christ the King Sunday, just as today is. I remember telling you this story that Jesus is standing before the governor, the Roman governor, Pilate, hours before he would die on the cross. The Roman governor was eye to eye, standing eye to eye, not with the king of the Jews, but the king of the cosmos. In that sermon, I suggested that it would be best if we all focused on Jesus in our ministry together. And if we did that, do you remember when I said it? If we did that, how could we fail? I told you that it would be best not to think too highly of me, because despite my formidable ego, I wasn't worth following. What did I say next? But Jesus definitely was worth following. I am still not, and Jesus still is. The words we use on Christ the King Sunday is, Christ is King. Say it with me.
Christ is King.
4 years ago, I urged you not to lose sight of this reality, to stay focused on and grounded in Jesus the Christ, our King. I urged that the best thing we could do, whether you called me or not, the best thing we as the Church Universal could do was to be Christians and to follow Jesus and to love Jesus and to serve in the manner of Jesus the Christ, paying attention to the least of these, paying attention to those whom society has forgotten, spending ourselves in faithful service, every penny, every ounce in faithful service to Jesus the Christ. If we did that, if we attempted to do that, God would bless our faithfulness. And how could we fail? Any preacher worth his or her salt would have done the same. And you hired me anyway. Part number two. When I was in seminary, my wife Rachel preached a sermon called She Did All She Could. It was one of the best sermons I had ever heard at that point in my life. I don't remember the details of that sermon, She Did All She Could, except she repeated the phrase, She Did All She Could, as a refrain. She pounded it like a hammer and a nail. She rang it like a bell. She did all she could. And I was so inspired because I wanted to do all that I could do as well as that woman in Bethany did. That's the story Jesus. That's the story Rachel was referencing. She's not Jesus. She's Rachel. That's the story she was referencing. Jesus was in Bethany at table, eating, and a woman comes in with an alabaster jar of very costly perfume, and she anoints Jesus' head in an honorific sort of act of devotion. She pours that nard, that perfume, on Jesus' head and hair, and his disciples are angry. This was expensive stuff. They knew the house was filling with the smell of it. We could have sold this perfume and taken the money and served the poor with it. But Jesus says, she's done a good thing. You'll always have the poor with you, and you will always need to care for them and love them. But you will not always have me. This was days before his death. Days before his body would hang on the cross and would be buried in a tomb. Days before they would cease seeing him physically again. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. When the gospel is ever told, People will remember what she has done this day. She did all she could. Leave her alone. She's done all she can do. Christ was king. She knew it. And she did all she could to honor him. Part number three. This observation about doing all we can do gets into the story of you and me. We are called to live into this story of service and sacrifice and love and praise. And as that woman did all she could, we are invited to think about what we have done, what we could do, and are we in fact doing all we can do to honor Jesus the Christ? What have I given lately? What have I done lately? How well have I lived? Have I opened myself up? Have you? Have I surrendered to God to be used by God in any way that God sees fit? Have I? That woman did all she could. Have I done all that I can do? Have I even come close? Christ is King. Have I served with all my allegiance? Or only halfway, only when it's convenient, only when I have time, only to the extent that I think my gifts go. Part number four. Recently on a radio show called The Moth, Jason Schmidt tells the story of growing up poor. He and his dad bounced around from one tough situation after another, all of their things in plastic bags on the curbside, nothing but a car, from one horrible situation, from one impoverished scene to the next. And Jason always marveled at how his dad would say, "Give me a minute," and how his father would turn the situation around somehow. His dad always had a way of making things work out. Jason, as a little boy, was marveled at his father. He looked upon his father as a magician and a hero. Jason and his dad once moved from one home to another, into another city. They were going to find housing there. And on the way, they wanted to camp in the forest. This is in the Northeast. They wanted to camp in the forest one more time to say goodbye to these woods that they loved. And they were camping before they made their faraway city visit, maybe to Seattle. Maybe that's where they were moving. And Jason got sick. And his father took him to the emergency room. And Jason was very sick, but he could go home. He had to buy an expensive medicine, and that medicine, which his father purchased at the pharmacy, ate into the money that he was saving for rent for their next place. Jason was very sick, though. He couldn't travel, so they went back to the forest. They bathed in the river. They lived in the car. Jason's fever finally broke, and that's when Jason realized they weren't camping anymore. They were homeless, and it had happened before, Jason now realized. He just didn't know it as a child then, but it had happened before, and here they were again, homeless. He no longer saw his dad as a magician or a hero. Jason saw his father as a human being who was doing the very, very best he could, and Jason loved his father for that. Jason's dad did all he could. He served his son with everything he had. We've confessed our faith in Jesus the Christ. We've confessed something that we don't always believe. We've confessed a faith that we don't always live into, but we've confessed nevertheless. We've said it without hesitation in one strong voice, and maybe in the background of what we were saying, we were praying, "Oh God, help us to live into this creed. Help us to believe truly. Help our actions to betray our belief. Help us to be true disciples." Together we have pledged to do our very best for this child, for this family, in the name of Jesus the Christ. I joked and said, "Dave, can you change a diaper?" If he had to, he would, because he's promised to do his very best, and so would you, so will you, so we are doing with our children in our midst now. Part number six. I think this is the last part, but I'm not sure. We aren't called to save the world. That's not our job. That's God's job. We aren't called to be cosmic magicians or superheroes. We are invited instead to be ourselves. We're invited to be ourselves and simply, as best we can, with the Spirit's help, to follow Jesus, to adore, to thank, to praise, to lift up song. We're invited to take one step, one faithful step after the next faithful step, not two at a time, not three at a time, but to take one faithful step after the next, to honor Jesus in every step we take, to honor Jesus by loving others, by being kind and by being thoughtful, by caring about justice and mercy, by being good stewards of all our gifts, and not just during this season of pledging, which is wonderful, thank you, but during every season throughout the year, to be full-time Christian philanthropists. We're called to honor God by sharing our lives, by sharing our energies for the common good, mindful of those people who aren't yet around the table and inviting them to come. We are invited to be disciples, not heroes, not magicians, not saviors. Nobody may notice our contributions. Nobody may notice the contributions we make in this life, the way we unevenly care for other people, the way sometimes we shine, the way we share our kindnesses. But God notices every single time, just as the sun right now is shining through these windows. God notices every time. God will notice those moments of devotion, the ways you spend your lives in ways that honor God, and sometimes you'll be doing this accidentally. But God will notice. God will notice. And as we rightly serve, we may catch a hint of perfume filling the room. And we may remember that woman in Bethany, whose example we are invited to follow. We'll remember that woman in Bethany who, knowing that Christ was king of her heart, served and honored him and did the very, 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 very best that she could. Whenever the gospel is told, people will remember what this woman has done, and they will want to follow her holy lead.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.